Have you ever thought about how much one breathalyzer test can really impact a DUI case, and how one single court decision can shape legal precedent for years to come? Well, today we're going to do a deep dive into State of New Jersey v. Florence B. Johnson. That's a 1964 case that really did just that. If you're studying criminal procedure or evidence law, you absolutely need to know this one. It's a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is not just about one traffic stop. This goes way deeper into like the fundamentals of how we use scientific evidence in the legal system.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks at how different courts work together. You know, we're going to talk about how important blood alcohol evidence is, what a statutory presumption means, and how powerful they can be. Plus, the role of appellate courts when they look back at what happened in trial court. And we'll do all of this focusing on DUI law, specifically in New Jersey.
And the story itself is actually pretty interesting. So imagine this. It's 1958, Livingston, New Jersey. Florence Johnson gets pulled over by the police around 5:15 p.m., right after she bought some liquor. She admits to having two-ounce rum drinks.
Yeah, and then they give her the drunkometer test, right?
Right.
And that shows a BAC of 0.18%, mm-hmm. which is, you know, pretty high.
Okay.
On top of that, about an hour and a half later, a police physician examines her, and he confirms that, yep, she seems impaired.
And this is a detail that makes it even more intense. This wasn't Mrs. Johnson's first DUI. This was her second offense. Back then, that meant some serious consequences, like 3 months in jail, and they could take away her driver's license for a whole decade, 10 years.
No kidding. That's huge. So naturally, she gets convicted in municipal court. That's the first step. What happens next in this whole legal process?
So she decides to appeal that conviction, and now the case goes up to county court. What happens there?
In the county court, they do something called a trial de novo. Basically, it's like a do-over. They look at all the evidence again from scratch. And guess what? She's found guilty again.
But the story doesn't end there, does it? She appeals again, right, this time to the appellate division.
You got it. And this is where it gets interesting. The appellate division actually overturns the guilty verdict from the lower court. They reversed it.
Wow, so now there's a conflict, right? I'm sure the state felt like an important legal precedent was at stake, so they wanted someone else to weigh in.
Yeah, exactly. So they go to the top. The New Jersey Supreme Court agrees to hear the case. They basically say, okay, we'll step in and figure this out.
So what were the big legal questions that the Supreme Court had to think about? What were they really trying to decide?
Okay, so there were two main issues. First, they had to figure out if there was enough evidence from the original trial to say that she was really guilty of driving under the influence. And then the second big question was, is that drunkometer test even admissible? Like, can they legally use that in court?
Okay, let's unpack that evidence a little bit. Starting with that 0.18% BAC, that's a pretty important number in this case. Legally, what made it so significant?
This is where we get into this really important idea called a statutory presumption. Back then, in New Jersey, the law said if you had a blood alcohol level of 0.15% or higher, the law just assumed you were intoxicated. It's a rebuttable presumption, but still. And her reading was 0.18%, right? So, as the Supreme Court said, this made it extremely difficult to overcome that assumption that she was intoxicated.
So it wasn't just that the prosecution showed the court this number. This presumption, this legal thing, basically flipped the burden of proof. It wasn't on the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she was intoxicated just because of that number. Instead, the law was like, okay, we're going to assume she was intoxicated based on this BAC, and now it's her job to prove she wasn't, even with that high reading.
Exactly. The statute basically used the science of how alcohol affects people to create this presumption. It was up to Johnson to show the court some convincing evidence that, no, despite that number, I wasn't impaired. It wasn't like a done deal, you know, not set in stone, but it was definitely a big challenge for her defense.
And she did try to fight it, right? What did her lawyers argue to try and explain that 0.18% BAC?
Her defense team brought in expert witnesses who said, well, maybe she had a medical condition that messed with the BAC reading, or maybe it affected how impaired she was at that level. They also tried to argue that those drunkometer tests weren't actually that reliable back then, like maybe the technology wasn't so accurate.
But in the end, the Supreme Court decided to go with the prosecution. Why? Why didn't they think her arguments were good enough to rebut that presumption?
The court put a lot of weight on the objective evidence that the prosecution had. Sure, the 0.18% was key, but they also looked at what the police officers saw when they pulled her over. They said she was driving erratically. And then you have the police physician. He examined her a little while after the test, and he said she was definitely impaired.
So it was more than just the number by itself. It was the number plus what everyone saw and what the doctor said, too.
Exactly. It seemed like the court trusted the officers and the doctor more than they trusted the defense's experts.
So let's talk about appellate courts for a second. The appellate division said, nope, not guilty. But then the Supreme Court said, hold on, we think the first verdict was right. Why do they do that?
This shows us something really important about how appellate courts work, this idea of appellate deference. Basically, the Supreme Court said that the appellate division shouldn't have tried to reinterpret the facts of the case. The trial court already did that.
So the appellate court doesn't get to look at the case and decide who they think is more credible.
Not really. Appellate courts usually have to respect what the trial court decided, unless there's a really clear mistake. The Supreme Court said that the trial court had enough credible evidence to find Johnson guilty, and the appellate division overstepped. They said that unless it's super clear that the trial court was wrong, appellate courts have to go with what they decided, especially if it was based on evidence they thought was believable and their own impression of the witnesses. It makes sense when you think about it. The trial judge is the one who actually sees the witnesses and hears them talk.
That makes sense. Okay, so the Supreme Court said the trial court had enough good evidence to find Johnson guilty, and the appellate division shouldn't have second-guessed them.
Right. And Justice Hall, he's the one who wrote the majority opinion, and he made it very clear why they decided this way. He talked a lot about why the legislature set that 0.15% BAC level in the first place. What were they hoping to accomplish?
Yeah. What was the purpose of setting that specific BAC level to mean you're presumed intoxicated?
The court said that the legislature wanted that 0.15% to be the standard. Like, if you hit that level, you're unfit to drive, period. It didn't matter if you thought you could handle your alcohol or if you didn't look drunk. The court basically said, look, the law doesn't care if you think you can hold your liquor. If you're at 0.15%, you're unfit to drive. It was a big shift to a more science-based approach to DUI law. Before the Johnson case, it was more about what the officer saw, which is subjective. This case said that a scientific measurement is more reliable, even if people react to alcohol differently.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong statement. It shows how much importance the court put on that BAC number.
Totally. And the Johnson case became a big deal. It's solidified using drunkometer tests as good evidence in DUI cases in New Jersey. And it really clarified how appellate courts should act when these cases come up.
So, State of New Jersey v. Florence B. Johnson is about way more than just her conviction. It changed how New Jersey courts handle blood alcohol evidence, and it set some ground rules for how trial courts and appellate courts work together in these types of cases.
Absolutely. They basically created this framework. Objective scientific evidence, like BAC, is super important, and it creates this presumption of guilt that's tough to fight. So the defense really has to bring their A game to overcome that.
So for anyone listening who's trying to wrap their head around this case, here's the gist. Florence Johnson got convicted because that high BAC triggered this strong legal presumption, and her lawyers couldn't convince the court that she wasn't actually impaired. And on top of that, the Supreme Court basically said, hey, appellate courts, you gotta respect what the trial court decided, as long as they had decent evidence. If you're learning about evidence law, this case shows you exactly how scientific evidence and these legal presumptions work together.
That's a great summary. It really highlights how the legislature makes laws, how scientific evidence plays a role, and then how the courts make their decisions.
But here's something to think about. The court didn't care about someone having a high tolerance. They just looked at that BAC number. But think about how things are today. We know more about how everyone's body processes alcohol differently. And we have new technologies to figure out if someone's impaired. Do you think these presumptions might change in the future? Could they be challenged?
That's a great question. It makes you think about how law has to keep up with science and technology. You know, what does it really mean to be impaired? It's a conversation that's still going on. How do we balance objective standards with individual differences?
It's definitely food for thought. Understanding cases like Johnson is super important if you want to understand evidence and criminal procedure. Keep learning, everyone.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating area of law.
That's all for our deep dive today.